Miss Brenda said she's just going to drop the mic. Enough said. Amen. Let's pray. No. There is children's church this morning. So make an exit to the rear. Thank you so much. Straight back. FLC, here they come. Well, good morning, family. I know most of you, some of you, I don't. So let me, JT said, explain yourself. I have MS. I'm heat sensitive. I have MS. I'm light sensitive. I have MS. I'm a very sensitive guy, okay? So that hence the light blocking hat, because as Jonathan Newton laughed this morning at me constantly about falling backwards, it is bright up here, amen? And the shorts is because it's hot in here to me. I don't know about to you, but I just stay hot. Right, Holly? I'm hot. The glasses help mediate all the wavelengths of light. So I love you. You love me. Most of you know the deal. So let's get into the word. Amen. First thing, you send in a bulletin. You get it in on time, ahead of time, actually. And you look back over it, and there's an error. So real quick, take out your pencils, your pens, whatnot. The Jude 17:25 at reality number 2 needs to go to number 4 and vice versa. Move Romans 8:31-39 to reality 2. It's fixed? How? How? Did she, Yvonne, if you're watching, if you came in and reprinted bulletins, you deserve a raise. And we're coming up on the budget. Amen. So I'm one of the elders here, and it's my absolute pleasure and honor to be here with you today. This passage has been stomping my toes all week. And so I told Holly this morning, be prepared, because I'm going to share it, the stomping. And it's not me. It's God's word. It's powerful and strong, and I'm humbled by this opportunity to get up here and to just open it up and share it with you. The title is A Litmus Test, Abiding in Christ. Many of you who took high school or college chemistry know what a litmus test is, right? It's something that determines if something's basic or acidic. In the early 1300s, this fellow named Arnoldus de Villanova figured out that he could take lichen or fungus and grind it up certain ones in certain ways and mix it with liquids, and it would turn a certain color. It is a very simple test, but it is very accurate, and it's decisive, and it determines something. Is it acidic or is it basic? It's just that simple. It has a purpose, a beautiful purpose. Today, our time in the Word, will we use it? It is commonly used in our society today, right? You hear, what's the litmus test for that? And what we're going to use God's Word today is the ultimate litmus test for our lives. It's going to be an indicator of the state of our heart. In our case, the Word will be the definitive indicator of our true state in Christ, abiding, or outside of Christ, not abiding. I'm no Greek scholar, okay? I wrote here, our Scott is not a Greek scholar definition of abide, is to remain, to dwell, to stay, and to keep. And we're going to throw out two lifelines, and then we're going to hit it heavy. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord Jesus in heaven, we love you. We thank you. Our hearts today are yours. Mold us and make us. Lord, let each one of us do a deep self-determination through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Are we yours? And if so, are we abiding? Are we not yours? Are we faking it? Are we showing up and doing the things that would let everybody around us think that we're something different than what we are? Lord, let the indication be that we are yours. And if we're not, Father, I pray this morning that hearts would be moved, that the hard soil that has been compacted by the harshness and the cruelty of this world would be turned over by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that your word never returns void. So in that, with great faith, we step out and say thank you as we enter into this time together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, if after hearing today's word proclaimed from, I guess you could call this a pulpit, okay, right? I told JT I wanted the big wooden thing so I could bang on it, but I'll go gentle. If after hearing the word preached today, you realize that you are not abiding in Christ, or that you've never truly repented and have the ability to abide in Christ, you've never truly accepted the Father's gift of salvation, please do not panic, okay? Abiding in Christ is a daily, minute-by-minute at times thing. I have not abided this week, neither have you, and I will not abide at times in the week to come. We have a lifeline. Please don't panic. For those who are His but are not abiding, and that can happen at any time, folks. It can sneak up on us in a moment. We anger, strife, stress, lust, hardness of heart, whatever it may be, and we look up and we realize I am not abiding in Christ. 1 John 1:9 is, if there is one, for me, my life first. Because I find myself there so often. That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, for an abiding Christian, is a daily prayer. Literally, it's our lifeline as believers to wash away the things that we've allowed to creep in and to steal our peace, to steal our joy. For the unbeliever, for those who cannot abide in Christ because you're not truly His, the Word throws a lifeline to them as well. Romans 10:8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches in full on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? Confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Believe what the Bible says about Jesus. It is true, brothers and sisters. Ask God to give you the heart to receive that message. It's His to give. He provides both sides of it. He calls you and He gives you the grace to accept it. None of it comes from within us. But we are definitely horribly misled by this world. To think that we can name it and claim it just a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, please forgive me, and then we can live however we want to know. Because there's fruit that must accompany true salvation. We must exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the things that the Word says we must present as Christians will be found in us if we are truly His. Will it be found perfectly every minute of every day? Absolutely not, because you and I are both human and we need Christ to cleanse us daily. But it will be evident that that is our heart's desire. So what is reality number one? And the reason I called it reality number one as opposed to a reality check, because a reality check just kind of, it sounds like just something popping off on a list. Our true reality is that we should, every time we come before God, before Christ, before the Holy Spirit, we should have a gut check. We are entering into a holy place when we go into prayer, when we go into His Word, when we come into fellowship and worship in a place like this. 1 John 2, 3-6 says, "And by this we know that we have come to Him if we keep His commandments." I don't know about you, but that little two-letter word is the most terrifying word in the English language as it accords to Scripture. If we keep His commandments, we have to keep His commandments if we're abiding in Him. It's not optional. And the folks around us, the world will see, the lost world is watching. Are we doing what we say we're going to do? "Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him." Verse 6. "Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." We have to. We must. This is our litmus test, people. This is, are we walking the same way in which Christ walked? Are we pursuing Him with our whole heart, whole mind, whole body, whole spirit? Everything within us, is it pursuing Christ? "Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." Bring that down to Scott's level. Okay? We've all heard it. If you're going to talk the talk, you must. Otherwise, we're not abiding. Talk is cheap. Amen? Talk is cheap. But when it's time to do the deeds of the gospel is when we really see God magnified and God glorified. Reality number two, the heart. The heart check. 1 John 2:15 to 17 tells us, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Are we in love with the things of the world? And this is not liking things, okay? God created an earth that is for our enjoyment, our oversight, our in just beauty. I mean, it's gorgeous. Amen. We live in a glorious world that He's created us, but we do not love this world because guess what? This world is not. It is not your home. The things of this world are not going to give us any satisfaction. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." We need to demonstrate to the world the things that are of the Father, not of the things that they see every day, day in and day out. We must be different. And we're only different by abiding in Christ. We do not have that within ourselves. We cannot do that within ourselves. None of us have the power in our own accord to just be good Christians. There's no good Christians. There's repentant Christians. There's Christians who constantly confess and turn from their sins. There's Christians who abide and hold tight to the vine is grafted in branches. I don't want anybody to say that, Scott, you're doing a good job at being a Christian. No. I want people to say to me, to you, that when I look, I see Jesus manifest in your actions, your deeds, your words, your stance in this world. The lines that you draw in the sand, not yours, but the gospel's. Why? Because this world is passing away, verse 17, with the desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Everything that we see, touch, is temporary. There's only one thing that abides forever. And that's God's people who are following Him, who are truly converted, will abide with Him forever. The horrifying, terrifying, soul-breaking reality is that those who love Christ will be in His presence forever in glorified bodies, and those who didn't will be separated in glorified bodies for eternity, suffering in the pits of hell. That's a reality. We have got to approach our evangelism. We have got to approach our relationships. We've got to approach our families, our neighbors, our communities, our workplaces with this in the back of our mind, that everyone you see will spend eternity in heaven or hell. That's the reality of it. And where is your heart at concerning that person? Do you love them enough to love them? Regardless of what the choices they've made in their life, regardless of how they identify or who they identify with, regardless of where they stand in anything that this world has to measure by. Do you love the unlovable? There should be no such person in our lives there's no one who's unlovable. Jesus loved us while yet separated from Him. Is it too much for us to love those that Jesus died for? For us to put effort, energy, time, everything that we have into pouring out our hearts into the lives of lost people? We can only do that if we're abiding in Christ. What is our response to that? What is our response to knowing that we've got to do that? Listen to a passage from Jude 17 to 25. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. We see it. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Check, we see it. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep abide yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Have mercy on those who doubt. Do we have mercy on those outside the kingdom? Do we love them? Verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Do others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh? Folks, evangelism, loving people who are lost, getting into the trenches is dirty work. But we are to not allow it to draw us down. If we go in not abiding, if we go in unequipped, if we go in unprotected, we will be stained. We have got to guard ourselves, guard our hearts, abide in Christ. And then this beautiful benediction. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Amen. He is able to keep us. I'm not able to keep Scott Williams on the straight and narrow. You're not able to keep yourself on the straight and narrow. You're not able to keep your children on the straight and narrow. Your family members, your co-workers, only Christ can do that. That's why it's so important, the abiding. If you're here and this is just landing on deaf ears, I pray that even now that God would unclog those stopped up ears and you would hear that the abiding in Christ is a joy, is a pleasure, is something that we can never have, never understand, never even touch from the world's point of view. It is reserved for His people. Those who love Jesus, we have joy in the midst of trial and tribulation. Amen? We can go through the trenches, go through the fires, go through everything this world has to throw at us and still be joyful because we're abiding in Christ. Reality number three, the actions, the deeds, our actions check. What are we doing? Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Makes a practice. I didn't Google up a definition for it. I just thought about it. I'm not good at a lot of things. I want to be. When I get to heaven, I hope I can learn how to weld. Oh, man, to be able to lay down a perfect bead. Oh, Lord, let me be able to work in heaven, please. I want to experience. I want to be able to practice something and get it right. So what's practice means? It means to get better due to intentional repetition. Right? Somebody touched last week on Paul's golf swing. Okay, your lacrosse throw, your fishing, your insert anything that you must do that takes practice. Okay, we have to understand that abiding in Christ is an action that we must practice day after day after day. It's not a one and done. You know that He appeared, verse 5, in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. Amen? He is perfect. He is the only one that can keep us pure and holy. No one, verse 6, who abides in Him keeps on sinning, makes a practice of sinning. Does that mean sin? Individual, you're going to sin today. You may be sinning right now, sitting there. Okay? I've sinned this morning already in aggravation. You know, my heart got aggravated. A little bit angry. I had anxiety. We had a flash flood last night. I thought I left my windows down. I lost my peace. In my van, I told Holly, I said, I think I left the windows down. She said, oh, no, it poured last night. I left the windows down because it was already soaked because I had already left them down once. And between the key rack and the porch, my anxiety shot through the roof. Because then I got a funky van to deal with for the next 2 weeks. Step out. Boom. Now, I'm trying to. Holly's like, you're wired this morning. I was. I'm excited to be here. And instantly, when I realized those van windows might be down, I was like, I was gone. I was in a different place. Lost my joy. Was that a good thing to have happen? No. Was it simple and easy? Did it sneak up on me out of the quickness of my own mind? Absolutely. We have to be on guard against it. So practicing sinning is different, brothers and sisters, from us committing a sin. You're going to sin. I'm going to sin. I'm not going to pursue that sin. I'm going to go back to my lifeline and I'm going to confess it. And Jesus is going to cleanse me. We know people who are practicing their sin. You know them. You've talked to them. You shared the gospel with them. They will not turn from their wicked ways. They make it a habit of time after time after time. No matter how many times we present the gospel, no matter how many ways we present it and show them the glories that God has to offer, they are so caught up in practicing the things of this world. But we're different. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Litmus test. Boom. It's done. I had a dear friend who's with the Lord now. He worked in produce for years at Harris Teeter. He started out with Bird's. Anybody here remember Bird's grocery stores? And went through all the iteration and ended up at Harris Teeter. And we were cutting wood one Friday. Some of you who have been in Sunday schools heard this. Cutting wood one Friday and talking. It was, every pastor has to have that deacon in their life to keep them straight. And Tom was mine. And he said, we were talking about just situations. And he said, Scott, he said, we're not called to judge anyone. He said, but we are called to be fruit inspectors. He said, I do it every day. I go out and I look, and the bad fruit I pull because it makes the rest of it look unappealing. We people, brothers, sisters, we want the world to see not us, but see Jesus. See His Word lived out in our lives. So let us not make any practice of sinning. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. That's what I want the world to see when they see us believers. That we are righteous, not because of what we're doing, but because we're practicing what's been laid out for us to practice. We're following His law for our life and not the world's leading. We're going to practice something. Amen? You're going to get really good at something in this world, your life. When it's all said and done, you will be judged by that which you have practiced. And may our practice be that of righteousness. Why do we do that? Because He's righteous. And we want to be like Jesus. We yearn to be like Jesus. We desire, our heart's biggest hope should be for Jesus to be evident in everything that we say, all the words that come out of our mouths, our actions, our moments of just doing common, mundane things. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Never forget that everything is either an act of worship or an act of rebellion. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. We are called to righteousness, and we are called to observe. And when we observe things in people's lives that are outside of the mandate of Scripture, if they are a brother and sister, stop being a coward. Grab hold of the courage of Daniel and go to them, as Scripture says, and lovingly, humbly approach them and say, brother or sister, let us confer about this. Let us go before the Lord about this. For those who are lost and living in the world, it takes more courage, right? We may offend somebody. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to please the people around them. It's common to most people to be people pleasers. I fortunately do not suffer from that malady. There are people in here who could amen that. Amen. But still, it's my desire that I please Christ and not man. And Christ died so that people who are lost can be saved from an eternity in hell. His desire for me is to please Him in doing what He's called me to do. That's why we're here. That's why the church remains. This is, I'm no eschatologist, but I'm a believer in that the church is here because God's got a purpose for us being here. If He didn't need us here, we wouldn't be here. So why are we here? To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying of this world. To call one another to holiness and purity in our own lives. Philippians 4:4-9 is our response to this. This is a great source of joy for us who are abiding in Christ. It is a mandate in verse 8 as we struggle to abide. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's just help me Jesus and you get on with your day. No. It takes conscious effort. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is here. The Lord is in your car. The Lord is beside you in front of every device that you have. The Lord is ever present in the lives of believers. You will not be able to escape Him. There's nowhere that you can go to get away from Him. He is at hand. And thank the Lord that He is. Amen? There's nowhere that I can go that Jesus hasn't gone before me and is not with me now. I cannot escape Him. So what should that do for us? Put us in a place of peace, folks. We're in the ideally in the center of God's will for our lives. So what do we have here? Do not be anxious about anything. The cares of this world, the job, the family, the lost people in your circle. Do not be anxious about it. Anxiety serves no purpose. Me losing my peace for 5 seconds this morning served no purpose. My anxiety about my loved ones, my family members who are outside of Christ, who are lost. Being anxious about it just takes any motivation that I have. It focuses all of that onto me. When in truth, my focus should be outward. If I'm being anxious, I'm looking at my own heart. This says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, action. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can't do it in and of yourself. You can't save your brother who's lost. You can't save your child who is lost. Pray for them. Yes, we can do that. Absolutely. With an anxiety-free heart. knowing that God is in control and God loves them. Are we praying this way? Or is it just something that's become rote in our lives? Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can absolutely step out with boldness, knowing that we are in Christ and that He can and will guard our hearts, our minds, as we confront this world. Not with anger, not with bitterness, not with judgment, but with love, joy, peace, and so on. How is that gonna be received by a world, a dark, dying world, full of folks who are outside the kingdom, who have been judged, and here you come and love them where they're at right then. And you lovingly let them know that Christ is calling them unto Himself. Do we have that boldness about ourselves? And this verses 8 and 9, this is where we abide. This is how we abide. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Abide in this place. And all the tasks that God has before us, all the things that Christ wants us to do while we're here, we will have the strength and the power to do it, because it's not ours, it's His. And we have the ability to do it. We have access to it because we're taking our thoughts captive and we're doing what Scripture calls us to do. And I love what Paul says here. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Here's that word again. Practice these things. Are you practicing, focusing on what is true and honorable and commendable and just and lovely? Are we practicing the things that we know we ought to practice? And if we do these things, guess where we can rest? We can rest in this fact, the end of the verse there. And the God of peace will be with us. We can absolutely deal with this fallen world with peace and joy, because He is with us as we go, as we embrace that which the church, the religiosity, the idea of the world is they're not lovable. We're not going to approach them. We're not going to do what needs to be done. And the true people, the true bride of Christ, will see them and say, we will go and do and serve and love because they are made in the image of God just like I am. And no matter who that person is, no matter what they're doing, no matter what sin they may be currently practicing or being held captive by, we love them and serve them, not with ourselves, but with the gospel. And we're consistent. We're consistent. We don't waver. I've got one friend outside the kingdom. Same message. You know, it's a simple thing. Right? When we boil it down, the gospel is simple. Jesus came. He lived the perfect life. Now, I'm simplifying it super simple here. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He went into ministry. He proclaimed justice. And He proclaimed the way that we are to live. He proclaimed and lived out in His own lives ways that can please the Father. He gave us an example in His life. He died having never sinned. And then God on the third day resurrected Him. And He is alive today at the right hand of the Father, present everywhere that we are. And that's the truth. It's very simple. I've had that same conversation with that individual almost on a weekly basis for over 8 years. I have prayed, Lord Jesus, release me from this. Let me move on to somebody else. No, stick it out, tough it out. You can do this in my grace. It's not pleasant at some times. Sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes it's just a struggle. But doing it because it pleases Christ, I'm being obedient to Him. God will bring people into your life that it's easy to love on. He'll bring other people who are lost in your life that is a struggle to love on. There's a commonality to those people. What are we called to do? Love on them. Demonstrate to them Christ is alive. Demonstrate to them Christ in us. Please let us not get lazy in maintaining personal purity and holiness. Reality number four, the final check. No one has ever seen God. 1 John 4:12-16. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in Him, and God abides in him. So if we're abiding in God, God abides in us. It's evident. That's the litmus test for our lives. If people look deep into our lives, if you were able to look into my heart, would you see an abiding heart or not? No one can, but Christ does. So today is a day for you to just bear yourself before Christ. Lord, am I abiding in you? Or am I in rebellion? Am I in sin? Or am I not abiding in you because I can't? I don't have the ability because I'm not truly yours. Be honest with yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit, reveal to me the areas in my life that I'm holding on to, that I'm not just completely laying before the cross. Will you get it perfect? Will you do it absolutely every day? No. We are going to sin. Praise the Lord that we can confess it and be cleansed. What is our response to this? As I prepared this, Romans 8, me and my oldest son memorized that at one point, and then it's gone. That was our time together when he was homeschooling in high school. We started out memorizing Romans 8, and we did it. I'm not sure if he still has it. I know it's come the way of the dodo bird in my mind, but it's still there, buried. And when I come across Romans 8, it brings me great joy, and especially the end there, Romans 8:31-39. And it's a powerful, powerful passage because it's something that brings great joy and hope and comfort. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Amen. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who is indeed interceding for us? Christ is right now before the Father interceding for each one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. I need it day by day. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to know my name, to carry me before the Father, to for to stand between me and a righteous and holy God that otherwise outside of Him I would be consumed and done away with. But Jesus is so gracious. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or sickness or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. Nothing this world has can separate us from the love of God. Hold tightly to that. In the storms that the world throws at us, know that nothing can separate us. Be confident in that. Not saying be proud, be confident. Humbly know that nothing this world throws at us can take us out of His hand. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We didn't just win in Christ. We conquered because He first conquered. He conquered death. Death, where's your sting for us? Do we fear death now? If you're sitting here right now and you're afraid to die, you're literally afraid to die, we need to sit down and have a gum bumping session, as I call it. We need to talk. Because those of us who are in Christ should look forward to it. Look forward to that day when He calls us home. Some of us are closer to that time than others, just by the clock, right? But others of us, you know, we don't know. It could be today, it could be 20 years, 30 years, regardless. Let us spend that time abiding in Him and loving on this lost world. And verse 38, just dive into it. Remember that old commercial, some tea drink or whatnot, dude's on the side of a pool, and he falls back into it. What was that? Nestle tea? Something. It was a great commercial. I remember that much of it. This is what I want us to do with this verse. Just fall back into it, and then just, let it surround you. Let it just put an armor around your heart. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from Him. That which the Father has placed in the Son's hand, no man can take away. Oh, don't you just want to go out right now and find that lost person that you love with everything that's in you and just show them the gospel. Live out the gospel. Speak the gospel to them. We live in a culture that day by day, more and more, is hating us. But guess what? We're in good company. Because it says the world hates you because what? It first hated Him. I'm okay being hated. I don't have to be popular. You don't have to like me. You know, I'm not a tweet that I'm looking for a 100,000 likes. I don't really want anybody to see anything in me other than Christ reflected. But yet, day by day, I go crawling back to the cross and saying, Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Polish this blemish off of the reflection that my sin has put onto this mirror that shows the world you. That should be our daily pursuit. We want to present to Him a blemish-free bride. You are part of that bride. Do not, please, do not allow the sun to go down on your anger. Do not allow the sun to go down on your sin. Do not allow the hour to pass. Do not allow the conversation to break. Do not allow relationships to fall apart because we're not willing to go and ask for forgiveness. We're not willing to go and love that person and say, hey, I'm sorry I offended you. I was offended by you. Whatever it may be, let nothing separate us from one another, and let nothing separate us from doing the purpose, fulfilling the calls for us being here. We're going to pray now, and we're going to pray Psalm 119, 9 to 16. That's our application. I'll be down here. Jason will be down here. JT's down here. Ask yourself this as we read this. Are you abiding in Christ? If not, deal with it now, please, so that if we ask you that question later in the day, not that I'm going to call you and say, are you abiding in Christ? He knows. Okay? If you're not abiding, clean up your act. I love you enough to tell you that. If you're outside the kingdom and can't abide and you want to know how to be part of the joy, the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness for the sins that you're in, and you don't know how, you don't know the escape, you don't know what to do, you're hopeless and you're lost, come talk to us. If you're embarrassed by that, if you don't want the people around you to think, hey, they're going to think poorly of me if I go down for whatever reason, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to say, find somebody who loves the Lord this week and say, please share the gospel. My number, all your elders' numbers, all your pastors' numbers, most everybody's number here is available to you. Call somebody. And that somebody, if you get that call and you don't feel equipped, call somebody. Because that's our calling. That's the reason we're here. Let's pray. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, and I'll fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word, dear Jesus. Cleanse us, make us holy, make us bold. Give us what we need, minute by minute, day by day, Lord, to have a strong and powerful impact in this world. Let us not skate by and be okay with the status quo. Give us the encouragement, the strength, the power to shake it up. We love you, Jesus. We love your word. We love your spirit. Father, thank you for all that you've done. In your name we pray. Amen.